So Arthur Denny and his party left Cherry Grove, for reasons apparently compelling and yet to us not fully clear, and set out for Oregon, because that was where one went to seek one's fortune. They got to Umatilla, and there Denny heard a man named Brock praise the Puget Sound, enough so that Denny's attention was turned there once and for all. The party went down the Columbia to Portland, as originally planned, and the Dennys then had to spend most of the fall there recovering from an attack of ague. None of that, however, deterred Denny, and early in November, hardly a good time to travel even from Portland to Seattle, he set out in the exact. He was not going to farm. He was not going for the effects of the climate on his health. He was going, in a way no less clear for its obscurity, to find his fortune by finding where to build a city. To say that, of course, is to invite incredulity. Seattle, for all its growth, was just beginning to become a city when Arthur Denny died over 45 years later. You can't go into a wilderness and make a city. But, we know, they didn't come to farm. None of the party was a farmer, and had they wanted that, they could have settled in the Willamette Valley. Or, if they had blindly determined to come to Puget Sound, they could have settled in the rich farmland of the Duwamish, where Luther Collins and Henry Van Asselt and Jacob and Samuel Maple had already settled by the time the founders reached Dalkey. They did not come to explore, as, of the whole party, only Carson Boren ever seems to have evinced any interest whatsoever in the wonders of the wilderness. They came, and right away they sold logs to a boat going to San Francisco. When winter ended, they looked for the deepest and best harbor, not in order to provide landings for canoes, but to establish a trading post. The first thing they did when they found the place they wanted on the east shore of Elliott Bay was to stake out claims. Bell on the north, Denny in the middle, Boren on the south. When Doc Maynard arrived, filled with plans to ship salmon down to San Francisco, the others tried to make sure he stayed by moving their claims a little bit north. When Henry Esler arrived shortly thereafter, interested in founding a sawmill, they gave him enough of their land to allow him to build his mill and to have a corridor down the hill from which his logs could be skidded. At a time when all there was to Seattle was dense forest and a handful of houses, Arthur Denny was out surveying land to make town plats. Most of these men and their families worked terribly hard, but what they wanted was not the bucolic homestead of the Willamette or the isolation of Thoreau. They sought mills and stores and ways to clear the land for houses rather than crops. In short, Seattle was to be a city. All one has to do to see how extraordinary this plan was is to go into some area that is still wilderness and try to imagine what a metropolis there would be like. It's one thing for cities to grow up as trading posts or as market towns after there has been established trade and need for a market. It was something else again to go to the edge of a vast wilderness at what must have seemed like the edge of the known universe and say, here we will build our town that will one day be a city. I've spoken thus far almost as though the founding of Seattle was all the doing of Arthur Denny, and my emphasis is intended. Obviously, many others were involved. And while Denny has always been called the founding father, I don't think that his significance has quite been understood. It was he that put Seattle where it is, and more important, he who putting it where he did, made it what it was.